Welcome to The Public Storyteller. My name is Michael Stock with Dr. Karen Neal. Karen is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. Hi, Karen.
Hey, Michael.
What story do you have today?
Here's one from Debbie K.
I'm an early education professional, and 2 years ago, I was the director of a fabulous grant funded by the Jim Moran Foundation, and I work at Family Central. And the name of my grant was called SEQUEL, and it was Community for Quality Early Learning and Literacy. And we were all about looking at young children and realizing that they're little sponges, and every experience to them is a learning experience. So being that we worked in the early child care centers, we wanted to give the kids an experience to collaborate with neighborhood businesses. So on Oakland Park Boulevard in Oakland Park, one of my child care centers happened to have been in the same neighboring location as the McDonald's. The director slash owner of the child care center had a great idea, since they knew the manager of the neighboring McDonald's, to collaborate with them. He took the initiative to go over there and meet with him, and eventually they invited me over and my team, and we talked about what can we do at McDonald's that can connect the business community with literacy and collaborate together. So McDonald was willing to put in a literacy corner. So we were all like so excited and in such disbelief. And so, of course, you know, we're brainstorming, what can we do? When should we do it? Who should we invite? So we started off by deciding to read a story to our children in the early childhood center and creating a bookshelf. Our team went in and we read a story called The Little Mouse, The Red Ripe Strawberry, and The Big Hungry Bear by Audrey Wood, which is a favorite among young children. And we talked about sharing, which was the main idea about that, of that book. And they drew pictures. They had great discussion. Who do we share with? What do we share? And they got to draw a picture of their favorite part. And we decoupaged a bookshelf and donated it to McDonald's. So that was the beginning of creating their literacy corner. So the school, in meeting with the manager and the regional manager, decided that they wanted to have a kickoff. We sent out flyers to the community through McDonald's and through the early childhood centers asking for donations of books so that we could have a nice, rich look for our bookshelf. It was amazing how the community really came together. They brought books. They donated books. Our families donated books. The neighboring stores donated books. And we slowly filled up that bookshelf. So we were having a kickoff, and it was like, I think it was 2 years ago, and we decided that not only do we want to have the bookshelf, but we also wanted to use this as an opportunity to bring families into it. And how can we incorporate reading and literacy with our families and making that connection with our kids, with our community, with our schools? So we created a bookmark with 10 tips about reading to your children. Finally, the day came, and the owner and director of the child care center decided that they also wanted to have a bounce house. They wanted to have a storyteller. They wanted to have face painting. So we can imagine what a great kickoff. We had banners talking about the literacy corner at McDonald's. So the day finally came, and I can't even tell you how many people came into McDonald's with books, looking at the bookshelves, deciding which books they should pick to read. Can they take two books? And slowly but surely, I would say in the period of maybe 2 or 3 hours, we had, seemed to me like 100 people or more coming in. Some were sitting with the storyteller, some were getting their face painted, some were at the bookshelf. And I remember specifically that there was a mother and a daughter standing at the bookshelf. It must have been for 10 minutes, deciding which book to take. When I finally went over to them and said, you can have more than one book if you like. And that little girl's face lit up. Not everybody has books at home. And with that, when you stood back and looked around at all the people in McDonald's, every single table was full of children, children with families, with books. You did not see any electronic devices. You saw parents reading to children. You saw children reading to other children. You saw children just reading on their own. It was such a wow moment for me, such a beautiful feeling about reading, such a nice connection with McDonald's, and such a nice connection with the family and friends over reading and literacy. I just won't forget it. When I pass at McDonald's, I always think about that experience.
Debbie Kay with a great initiative to help kids read.
Oh, Michael, this is the kind of story that gives a writer and storyteller goosebumps.
I just am upset that McDonald's couldn't follow up and do this with every store.
I think McDonald's should give a book with every hamburger or shake. This is so brilliant. And that image at the end of seeing kids reading to kids with books on every table, kids and families reading together. I mean, it's like something out of a Norman Rockwell.
You forgot the image of kids not using electronic devices.
Kids not using electronic devices. And I think my favorite part of the story, actually, was the little child and her mother who were trying to decide for 10 minutes which book to take. And Debbie goes up and says, "You can take more than one." It makes me think of the days when kids were excited to get an apple for Halloween. Now, I mean, you'd look at an apple and you'd say, who cares? I mean, to be so excited about getting a book in this day and age when we think that the day of the book is over is just a real eye-opener.
I don't think this program is still going on, but wouldn't it be nice if all the fast food restaurants would associate reading with eating?
Reading and eating. I like that. There's a slogan in there somewhere. Yes, and actually, the fact that every time Debbie Kay drives past a McDonald's to this day, she thinks about reading. I mean, how many people can say that? That's a really great connection.
Karen, comment on her storytelling skills.
Michael, this is somebody who is a really great natural storyteller. I mean, not only did her enthusiasm come through in her energy and the way she told the story, but also she used terms like a wow moment. And she said, kids are little sponges. And that's so true. I mean, she really made this story come alive. She gave us a lot of visuals with the kids and the families at every table, with the decoupaged bookcase filled with the different books. You know, she really made us feel that we were there. And a storyteller can tell a terrific story. All the details can be great. But if you can't have that excitement translated, if you can't transmit the feeling that you got when you lived that experience, then the storytelling event is not as successful. So even if you don't care as much as I care about having children read books and put away their electronics for a little while, I think you can't help but catch that contagious enthusiasm in Debbie's story.
Karen, I understand there's a professional storytelling show coming up?
Yes. Connie Reagan Blake is one of the very first, I mean number one and number two, touring storytellers in the 1970s when our storytelling revival began. And she is coming to the Boca Raton Public Library Story Central series next Sunday, 3 to 5 p.m., The Boca Raton Public Library is at 400 Northwest 2nd Avenue. The phone number for more information, 561-393-7852. And of course, library programs are free. So I hope I'll see everybody there.
Thanks, Karen.
Thank you, Michael. See you next week.
Dr. Karen Neal is affiliate professor at Florida Atlantic University and a professional storyteller. My name is Michael Stock. The Public Storyteller will return next Sunday.